Psalm 118, verse 19 through 29, these are God's words. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise Yahweh. This is the gate of Yahweh, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me, and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which Yahweh hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Yahweh. O Yahweh, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. We have blessed you from the house of Yahweh. God is Yahweh, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. We saw last week in verses 15 through 18 that the victory of the king from the previous week in verses 10 through 14 was a singular victory, but it had a shared celebration, the voice of rejoicing in the tents of the righteous we had in verses 15 through 18. So Jesus wins the victory, but all of his people enjoy the exaltation, the rejoicing, and the spoil, receive that which the Lord has given to his Son, because we are united to him. And not only is there a singular victory with shared rejoicing, there is also his singular righteousness with shared reward. We come now, the individual worshiper can come now, in verses 19 through 20, and say, open to me the gates of righteousness. We are not the King of Glory, Yahweh, like in the last part of Psalm 24, who Jesus, having finished his saving work, having accomplished his victory, having conquered even death and risen again from the dead, ascends into glory. And the gates are opened for him, and the question is asked, who is this King of Glory? And it is Yahweh of hosts, so that we know that when Jesus fulfills that in himself, that he who became a man has been from all eternity before he became a man, Yahweh of hosts. Now, in verse 19, the individual believer can say, open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them. I will praise Yahweh. We have entrance into heaven in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is an application of what we understand here from Psalm 18, that Ephesians and Hebrews, especially among the New Testament books, rejoice over the believer on earth already having been united to Christ in heaven, so that we are seated with him in the heavenly places. As we see especially in Ephesians 1:3 and Ephesians 1:20 and Ephesians 2, verse 6. And that Jesus leads our worship from heaven. As we see in Hebrews 2, verse 10, we're familiar with thinking about Hebrews 2:11 and his declaring his Father's name to us and singing God's praise in the midst of the assembly. And Hebrews 2:12, in which it is Jesus whose faith is perfect faith. And he says, I will put my trust in him. And Jesus who leads our praying from the throne of glory, which is a throne of grace to us, as we think about in Hebrews 4, verse 16. But this union with Christ and his bringing us there is especially seen in Hebrews 2:10, where it says that he brings many sons to glory. And then shows that not just in the ultimate eschatological way, last things sort of way, where he prepares a place for us and he brings us to that place, but also even in our public worship, which is being described in Hebrews 2:11 and 2:12, a big part of that is when Jesus says, "I will put my trust in him," and he is the one then who has perfect faith in God and leads his people's worship, is our worshiper in chief in heaven. He also says, "Behold, I and the children whom you have given me," that we are seated with him in heaven. And every time then we come to worship, we should marvel the way verse 20 marvels. As we come near the living God, we say, "This is the gate of Yahweh through which the righteous shall enter." Now, how can you and I enter to come near to the Lord? There we are, especially in the public worship of God, but even just now in our household worship of God. And we come near the living God, and we are admitted entry when the ones who enter the gate to come near the living God are the righteous. How can we be the righteous? And it is because singular victory, shared rejoicing, singular obedience, singular righteousness, shared reward. And by faith in Jesus Christ, we are united to Jesus Christ, and he is our righteousness. And not just human righteousness, although he exercises that righteousness in his human nature, but divine righteousness, because he is God the Son, the second person of the Godhead, the divine person. And so he who knew no sin was made to be sin, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. And every time you come, even in your private prayer, and you draw near to God and you call upon his name, and you know that he listens to you and he hears you and he welcomes you into his presence. He who is holy, 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 from whom angels hide their faces. You know that you have come through the gate of Yahweh through which the righteous shall enter. And of course, it's not being used in exactly the same way, but there is some overlap in language there. Jesus is the gate to our entering. This gate, he is the one who makes us righteous in himself by his keeping all of the commandments, by his wiping out the wrath of God that was against our sin and enduring it fully in our place. And so now we do similarly to the Lord Jesus. We say, "I will praise you, for you have answered me." Now, the Lord Jesus is the one who called on Yahweh in his distress, verse 5, and Yahweh answered him and set him in a broad place. But we all do like Christ. We pray, and he answers us. In the second part of verse 20, or the third part of verse 21, "and have become my salvation." This was the last part of the king's song of victory over his enemies and destroying them. In verse 14, "Yahweh is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." And so this praising and this in this section is like the praise of Christ himself, and it is like the praise that we see in heaven when the righteous enter the gates of Yahweh and draw near. What do we see them doing? We see them praising. Revelation 4, Revelation 5, we see them praying, offering up the incense of prayer as it is offered in heaven. Revelation 5, 8, and in the fifth seal, Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11, and the souls that are under the altar praying. But in Revelation 5, 8 and Revelation 8, verses 3 through 4, the prayers of the saints going up with the incense. This is what they do in glory. They praise and they pray. This is what the Lord Jesus has done. This is what we do on earth. Not just the praise then, of verses 19 through 24, which we'll complete in a moment, but also the praying of verse 25, which we'll come to in a moment. So, still on the praising that we do, worshiping God in earth as he is worshiped in heaven, we say, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And his great will for his people is that we would be worshipers. And the great thing that we worship him for is not so much what he has done for us, although he has done it for us because of our union with Christ, but we praise for what he has done for Christ. Because Jesus is the one who is worthy. Jesus is the one who deserves all good. And we rejoice and we praise because in rewarding Jesus, God also rewards us because we are united to him. But the believer loves Christ and admires, adores, worships the Lord Jesus Christ and lifts up heartier praise for what God has done for Christ than even for ourselves apart from Christ. In fact, the believer ought to refuse to think of himself or herself apart from Christ. So we are praising him for becoming our salvation. Verse 21, how did he become our salvation? Because of what he did, even through the Jews' rejecting of Jesus. Jesus himself highlighted verse 22 as being fulfilled as the Pharisees and the rulers of the people were rejecting him, said, The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. So praise God, he's making us to be living stones, like we hear about in 1 Peter chapter 2. He's making us to be a royal priesthood, kings and priests unto our God. He is making us fit to offer to him spiritual sacrifices, that the living God would receive the offering of your heart up to him, your prayers to him, your praises to him, your loving him, your delighting in him, and these would be acceptable sacrifices in heaven. Your prayers, your loving him, your trusting him. How is that? Well, he is making you a living stone. He is making you a living stone by uniting you to Christ and fitting you to Christ. And so you are being built upon him who is the chief cornerstone. And out from the chief cornerstone, he has built the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and he is fitting us up. And all of that, 1 Peter 2, is in all of that, 1 Peter 2 is expanding upon, the Holy Spirit is expanding upon there what he was also giving us here. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. We love for the church to be built and reformed and revived and purified. We love for each individual believer to be sanctified and shaped and fit together in the rest of the church, because all of it exalts, all of it brings praise to the Lord Jesus as the chief cornerstone. It is a continued fulfillment of the glory of Jesus Christ, that he who was rejected and he who was crucified endured that in order that God would exalt him and give him the name that is above every other name, so that there's a connection there between 1 Peter 2 and Philippians 2. Jesus humbled himself, took the form of the bondslave, found an appearance as a man, even to the point of death, and that on the cross. For this reason, God has highly exalted him, and we praise him. We praise the one who has become the chief cornerstone. And so the day that the Lord has given us for seeing Jesus as the chief cornerstone, for being united to Jesus, entering heaven through Jesus, being seated with him, being gathered to God in him, the day that God has given us for having him declare his Father's name to us and sing God's praise in the midst of the assembly, so that Jesus is the great praiser and Jesus is the great prayer, the intercessor through whom we come, and he presents us the many sons that he has brought to glory. The day that Yahweh has made is the Lord's day. Probably the ascension of all things is in view here, and the last day perhaps for us, and the ascension in Jesus' life when he enters through the gates, and the last day when we ultimately are brought near, resurrected body and soul in the last day. But there is every Lord's Day a sort of ascension day for the people of God. And it's the whole of what Christ has done that is rejoiced over, and the whole of what the reward that Christ has earned and that is being bestowed upon him, as knees bow and tongues confess that that he is Yahweh. Verse 24 is talking especially about the Lord's day and the last day. So, yes, the Lord has made every day, and you should be thankful for that day and the new mercies that are new that morning, and the food and the drink and the clothing and the trouble that he has portioned out and assigned for that day. Oh, but we sing, this is the day Yahweh has made, over the Lord's day, when in the Lord we come through the gates that the righteous will enter, and we rejoice over Jesus receiving his reward, as we see the church gathered to God, and we see Jesus the chief cornerstone, and we see the other living stones being built upon him and fitted together and offering spiritual sacrifices. What a day the Lord's day is. This is the day Yahweh has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And it is a day that was anticipated and participated in externally, when Jesus, just a few days before his death, was entering into Jerusalem. They said, Hosanna. The word Hosanna is actually the beginning of verse 25 there. It's the Hebrew, or actually for them, it was probably the Aramaic derivative from the Hebrew. Save now, Hosanna. I pray, O Yahweh, I pray. Send prosperity. And they praised Jesus. They used words. They even said, blessed is the Son of David who comes in the name of Yahweh. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Son of David who comes in the name of the Lord, they said. Recognizing that the he in verse 26, rightfully so, is the promised King, the promised Christ. But little did they know that in the fickleness of their hearts, they would be doing the equivalent in malice a few days later, and they say, crucify him, crucify him, to that which is prophesied in verse 27, bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. And the Lord Jesus, of course, knew that the praise that they were giving him as a king was connected to the suffering that would belong to him as the sacrifice. For little did they know that the king, in verse 26, is the sacrifice, in verse 27. But praise God, he has risen from the dead and ascended, and the one who offered himself once for all consecrates heaven, and he does now sit on the throne of glory, and we come through him when we worship God. And so this praise that belongs to Israel, that belongs to Aaron in his high priesthood, and Christ, of course, in his greater high priesthood, that belongs to all who fear the Lord, so that we're not just covenantally Israel externally in our membership, but we are internally the true Israel by the fear of the Lord in our hearts that the Lord has given us. We say, his steadfast love, his covenant love, endures forever. And we give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good. We gather to him in Christ and praise even Christ himself as Yahweh our God, whom we praise and exalt because his covenanted love endures forever. So, one of the great takeaways for you from this psalm and other places, but especially from this psalm today and this week, is that when we come to worship God, that your heart would praise God for what he has done for Jesus, knowing that it was God's will and Christ's will that you would be joined to him, and that what God has done for Jesus would be a reward for you because you are in Jesus and he is the desire and delight of your heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you have done for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that although it cost him crucifixion as the sacrifice who was bound to the altar, although it cost him being rejected by his own when those who were the builders rejected him, you have, because of all of this, exalted him highly and given him the name that is above every name. And we pray that your Spirit would help us, that he would give us faith and love for the Lord Jesus and delight in him, that we would have great rejoicing over his coming into what he has earned, over his coming into that of which he is worthy, that which is rightfully his, in his eternal personhood as the Son. And make us to marvel that not only have you done this for him in himself, but that you have given us a personal interest in, a personal participation in his victory and his righteousness, so that we enter the righteous gate, or the gate that the righteous may enter, and so that we also are living stones built upon him, who is the chief cornerstone. So give us to rejoice over the glory and the reward that comes to our King and Redeemer, and give us to rejoice that we are built into and upon him. For we ask it in his name. Amen.